Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Today, the Mediterranean diet is shown to decrease the risk of prostate cancer progression. MD Anderson Cancer Center down in Houston, Texas says this is good because in a study to examine a Mediterranean diet in relation to prostate cancer progression in men on active surveillance, the researchers found that men with localized prostate cancer who reported a baseline dietary pattern that more or less followed the key principles of a Mediterranean-style diet fared much better over the course of their disease. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about more fruits and vegetables, ideally locally grown organic, or at least, if not certified organic, which not everyone of the small farmers can do, but at least pesticide-free. That's good. More juicing, more legumes, and whole grains. And, of course, Mediterranean diet has fish, but you don't want to ever eat farm-raised fish like tilapia or salmon. Wild fish, and your healthiest fish would be the sardines. Those come from the Mediterranean area or the Atlantic and are healthier to eat. So that is what it consists of. Lots of nuts, too. More beans in the diet. So that can help you. It can both help prevent the prostate cancer, but it helps you if you have it. Also from the University of Michigan, new research on ginger countering certain autoimmune diseases in this laboratory setting. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal JCI Insight. And what they found was the main bioactive compound of ginger root, what is called 6-gingerol, G-I-N-G-E-R-O-L, is extremely therapeutic in countering the mechanisms that fuel certain autoimmune diseases. And specifically, they were looking at things like lupus, a disease which attacks the body's own immune system and its associated conditions of antiphospholipid syndrome, which causes blood clots, which can cause heart attacks and strokes. So anytime you're able to turn off inflammation and 6-gingerol prevents neutrophilic extracellular trap release, which is triggered by the autoantibodies that these diseases produce. So in just lay language, if you want to help prevent blood clots, if you want to help your immune system, if you want to have a longer life, put ginger into your daily program. Now, you can juice fresh ginger, and I'm seeing now for the first time boxes of ginger root already cut up, and all you have to do is just juice it. It's that simple. Or you can scrape it, you know, peel it, and then thinly slice it and saute it with garlic, onions, and release its nutrient value. So whatever way you want, get it in. In a few moments, I'm going to talk about how if you have acute cardiovascular disease, which a lot of people do, millions in the United States, why coenzyme Q10 is so important. This is from Juntendo University Hospital in Japan. But also today, I'm going to give you a question now so you have time to think about an answer. I'd like to hear your response on our talkback segment. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And we'll come to that in about 15 minutes. But also, we're going to hear from a Dr. David Martin. He is one of the mainstream orthodox doctors. He is not a complementary alternative doctor. And what we're finding are tens of thousands of mainstream scientists and physicians are pushing back. Now, they have never pushed back, to my knowledge, none of these people, on any of the important issues. 5G, which, by the way, there's going to be a demonstration this Wednesday in front of the Pfizer headquarters on 42nd Street, 11 o'clock. But they've never pushed back against synthetic hormone replacement therapy in women, and 10 million American women take it daily, and that can increase the risk of heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia. No pushback there. No pushback on the irradiation of our food. I've never seen any of these people at any of the demonstrations. For example, when we demonstrated at the state capitol in Albany against the H1N1 being mandatory for physicians and nurses in New York. In fact, when I got up on there on the steps of the capitol to talk, and we had about 1,400 who'd all organized and got up there within 24 hours, and we stopped that from becoming a law. But I ask, how many people are nurses or physicians who this would help protect your rights? You wouldn't have to have four vaccines that contain 100 micrograms of mercury, which is 1,000 times more than what the government agencies say your body can withstand. Not a single one. None. So it's kind of interesting that we're out there fighting their fight for them. So in the short of it, I didn't see them fight against DDT, aspartame. I didn't see them fight against any of the environmental disasters or global warming. Didn't see them fight it when we were down in Washington, D.C. to get ourselves arrested in front of the South African embassy to fight apartheid. Never saw one. So here's the irony. In my entire 54-year career as a social activist, as a human rights activist, as a health activist, environmental activist, I've never seen one of these people. Now suddenly we see a tsunami of orthodox, mainstream, play-by-the-book scientists and physicians who have found their outrage. Good for them. Because it's on COVID and the lies, manipulation, everything COVID. Better still. So it's not we from the alternative movement who are fighting, they are. So you're going to hear from one of them. And then you're going to hear from a journalist, a highly respected journalist, on a program network, WION, W-I-O-N. They gave a voice, a challenging voice, by the way. They were right on it. And now they are being challenged and deplatformed. So that leads me to this question. So listen carefully. I hope that I explain it so that you see the full ramifications. I will not be giving my opinion. I will provide a forum for you to share yours. We are entering a whole new dynamic. In fact, I just finished dictating an article. We'll have it ready for tomorrow. But it came to me last night, and I said, I got to get this to the audience. I see a crisis unfolding that is unparalleled in American history, going clear back to the Revolutionary War, where we no longer have, or will have in the foreseeable future, a balance of power. Now, many of you have heard me in lectures speak about the phenomena of what causes disease, both physically, or anything within our belief systems at the behavioral level, or any outcomes emotionally. It is a lack of balance. Let me give you an example. What if every day, all day, from the time you were a child, and now you're 30 years old, you were told, eat your French fries, eat your donuts, glazed donuts, drink all the soda you can, double up on your hamburgers and grilled cheese and pizzas, and don't forget every day, you've got to have your calcium, but you must take that calcium in the form of ice cream. Okay, now you have all these diseases. You have diabetes, you're obese. You were never once allowed to hear that there was a different point of view. And so everything you're doing, you think is normal. And every disease that everybody has, because everybody would be completely diseased, they can understand it. It's just normal. You're 30 years and you're at the end of your lifespan. And that's normal. You lived a good life. You lived 30 years, most of it on a couch because you were too heavy to get up and you didn't have the energy because you were also taught, don't trust the sun. Don't go out in the sun. Don't exercise. So everything that would have been good for you, you were excluded from knowing because you only had one authority and that authority was absolute. In fact, if anyone else dared to offer you an opinion that changed your mind, that person was considered a domestic terrorist, enemy of the state. They're not one of the happy faces that you should see. Our happy scientists, our doctors, our dietitians, our authority figures, they're all loved. You see them on CNN. You see them on Rachel Maddow. And only honest people who have your interest ever appear on Rachel Maddow. And you think, yeah, that makes sense. So you're living as if you were a highly indoctrinated cult member. That's exactly what is about to happen in the United States. Why? I don't care whether it's Republicans in the White House or Democrats. I don't care. That's irrelevant. It's really meaningless. It is the people who control all of it. So now you will not have any counterbalance to power. That's one of the ways that the government was set, so that one institution would help counterbalance the excesses of another. And they could argue it out, debate it out, and then see what came out of that. Now, the White House, the Senate, the House, and shortly within the next 6 months, there'll probably be two new states, District of Columbia and Puerto Rico. You also have an expansion of the Supreme Court. So everything will be in the power of one. Then also, you will have the media. I remember there was Jack Anderson, one of the greatest investigative reporters, and Sinclair Lewis. You've had throughout history some wonderful minds, and they challenged the status quo. They were part of the Fourth Estate, which is an unbiased, objective media who stands between corporate propagandizing or malfeasance and government representing special interest and lobbyists and corporate interest and not you, and they would expose this. Now, virtually all of major media is corporatized and weaponized. So they can attack you, even if you're innocent. Look at Wikipedia. Look at how they attack innocent people and make lies about them and then don't allow any change. Look at the platforms where you're deplatformed. If you want to mention and prove that you have science, real facts, real truth on your side that would offer some challenge to something that we are being told to believe and trust in completely, you're deplatformed. Then you're shamed. Then all these sock puppets and gaslighting occur against your career. So we have no objectivity. We have no balance that is able to challenge in the larger arena as a counterbalance. So we're out of balance. So once again, what do you think happens when all you do is hear one side of a story and your side is truth, but everybody else who has an opinion are just nut jobs? You're not to trust them. They're dangerous. And then you have the corporate interests that are in complete alignment. You're looking at Yemen and saying, Yemen's a basket case. It has got millions of people starving, children starving, human rights violations in the United States, which means the United States' officials, which means those you elected and those who are non-elected, the bureaucrats, the technocrats, and the politicians are all complicit, which means we who do not speak up are complicit. So where's the counterbalance? You have no counterbalance. Zero. You have over 400,000 minimally contractors who work for the Defense Establishment. And so war is good. Killing is better. Drones, and just ask Obama, ask Joe Biden, ask Hillary Clinton, hey, want to take a vacation to Yemen? No, you created it, supporting Saudi Arabia. You gave them the jets, you gave them the technology, and you're actually involved in making sure that medical supplies and food do not get in with your embargoes and your blockades. But if you don't want to go to Yemen for vacation, then why don't we have a vacation over to Libya? That was the Paris of Africa. Clean, healthy, prosperous people. No, they destroyed that. So we're incapable and have been incapable for the last 70 years of stopping, killing, and destroying. Well, where's the counterbalance? Ralph Nader was a counterbalance. Now, Ralph is alive, but he's been deplatformed everywhere. His voice stilled. Who stilled his voice? Could you imagine what the world would be like if he was made president? And he could have been. But we don't want the people who have the real solutions. So we have no balance. So we will continue with wars, militarization here in this country, more asset forfeiture, loss of freedom of speech. Everything you value today, watch in 6 months how much of it's gone. And then you'll say, how did that happen? It happened because you weren't paying attention. Unless you are paying attention, in which case, then show it. So we are about to have no balance in anything. Corporatization, commercialization, and then through the government and big tech, weaponization of everything. And it's not about being a Democrat or Republican. It's about looking at what was supposed to serve the people, the government, and now we are its servants. 888-874-4888. That's the number I'd like you to call. I am hopeful that we have enough people in this audience who have opinions on this and share your opinions. Also, let me mention that a lot of people listen to this program, the vast majority, on the archives. Write this number down so you can always call anywhere in North America, including Canada, and you can download a show. Our archive number is 641-793-9592, 641-793-9592, or listen live, 774-337-6033, 774-337-6033. Now, just a few more things on a health issue, and that involves if you have different types of heart disease. And this study from Juntendo University Hospital in Japan shows that, and this was published in Heart and Vessels, that you better have your coenzyme Q10 every day, because if you're deficient, quote, it can increase long-term mortality risk and lower levels of coenzyme Q10. So when you don't have enough, you're greater risk of dying. It's that simple. A minimum of 100 milligrams a day, and depending upon your condition and your advice you're receiving, it could go much higher. Also, from Rush University Medical Center, there's a link between opiate medication and pancreatic cancer, and it's not a good situation. According to this latest research, they have found that opiate use can increase your risk of developing pancreatic cancer, one of the two worst cancers you can get and one of the worst to overcome. Now, I know a lot of people are taking opiate medication for good reason, for seizures, brain cancers, lung cancers. But just understand that you should be on it for short periods of time and be monitored. But you should also be taking substantial amounts of anti-inflammatory nutrients like quercetin, vitamin E, vitamin C, to help grab those free radicals that are created by the opiates. Because if not, then, quote, according to this study, opiate use as a potential risk factor for pancreatic cancer in the United States, it shows evidence that opiate use may be an unintended risk factor contributing to the increasing incidence of pancreatic cancer, which is not a small deal. In fact, opiate misuse and overdose have evolved into a public health crisis. 70,000 drug overdose deaths in just 1 year. 70,000, 68% of those involved opiates. And you can thank Big Pharma for that. And yet nobody will challenge Big Pharma. Nobody in government, nobody at the Justice Department, nobody will be challenged. The one firm that was the largest maker of OxyContin, they paid billions of dollars in fines, were allowed to keep all of their profit and have billions more. So that's how corrupt it is. And pancreatic cancer is increasing in the United States. So just remember that. And finally, from Tohoku University Graduate School of Medicine, which is in Japan, an article came out talking about how if you adhere to a Japanese traditional diet, you'll reduce your risk of dementia. Now, the Japanese are famous for using fermented foods, and they're also famous for using lots of root vegetables, and they use lots of greens and seaweeds. They also have fish, and some have meat, but a lot don't. So that's very important to look at the oldest living population in the world, Japanese. It's almost catching up with those living in Spain. They have an older population as well. But this is historic for the last 50 years, been the oldest living large population in the world. There's smaller populations on the island of Crete, also in the Pacific, on Okinawa. But those are relatively small groups. And by the way, the ones on Okinawa are also Japanese, and they follow most of that, except they're surrounded by oceans, the ocean filled with all forms of edibles, so they're eating a lot of that as well. Also, they're very active. So if you want to help get off the train to Dementiaville, start looking at the best of the Mediterranean and the Japanese diets. And also from University of Colorado comes a study about how a common antioxidant can guard against liver disease. And this common antioxidant, especially good against non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, people who've eaten too much sugar, PQQ. PQQ. Now, yes, you'll find it in kiwi fruit, in soy, and in celery. Or you can take a 10 to 20 milligrams of PQQ each day in a supplement. It's really good for you. I've already talked about how it can do a lot to increase new mitochondria, but this is something new, can help your liver. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 22 minutes into our program. Now, we're going to take a break, and now we're going to hear from one of these orthodox mainstream medical doctors who has something to say about Anthony Fauci. And after that, if you've called in, we'll be happy to take your calls on what is the problem when you have no balance of power, when everything is one power, and there's no allowing for alternative voices. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is not America's doctor. Dr. Anthony Fauci was never an expert in the epidemiology of lung disorders or a pathogen of respiratory origins. Dr. Fauci was a $191 billion economic black hole of a failed enterprise to attempt desperately over the course of his entire tenure at the National Institutes for Allergy and Infectious Disease, a desperate effort to find a way to vaccinate the world against HIV. And $191 billion later, Dr. Anthony Fauci failed. He's not America's doctor. He's actually a puppet. And he is a stooge for a much darker story of the hijacking of America and the world's definition of health. In 1984, when Dr. Anthony Fauci took over the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease as its director, he began what at the time was a few hundred million dollar exercise, where at various points in time, he would attempt to diverge from his obsession with HIV and sexually transmitted diseases into areas of influenza vaccine. In his own words, in his annual reports, which are a matter of the congressional record and the public record, Dr. Anthony Fauci was seeking an elusive effort to find a way to, and I'm quoting, imprint on infants a universal influenza vaccine, something that would be a wonder drug that would allow a manipulated form of infant humanity to be imprinted with a vaccine that would carry with it his definition of what health was, his definition of what life was. The public record of Anthony Fauci is one that says that it was all about AIDS and influenza. It was all about shoveling $191 billion of United States budget into the hands of his market-selected, preferential loyalists in industry and in academia. But there's another side of Anthony Fauci that seems to suggest that maybe there was something else going on. Maybe the HIV and influenza thing was a cover for something more insidious. Because in 1999, he funded the chimeric and recombinant research that took coronavirus from rabbit cardiomyopathy. And you heard me correctly, the little fluffy bunnies. Cardiomyopathy. To first introduce the amplification of spike proteins on coronavirus to start developing ways in which they would be more attractable into lung tissue. Amplifying the S1 spike protein in the ACE2 receptor, Dr. Ralph Baric and other co-conspiring researchers funded by none other than National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and none other than Anthony Fauci. They began a process in 1999, which mysteriously involved researchers that were both at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and in China. The two locations that mysteriously also seemed to be the place where SARS, just a few years later, had its first outbreak. Dr. Fauci lamented, along with Dr. Ralph Baric and others, that the public wasn't interested in SARS enough to justify funding, but that didn't stop them. And in 2003, after the CDC illegally patented the genome of the SARS coronavirus isolated from humans, which, by the way, fact checkers routinely say is not the case, despite the fact that the patent on the genome itself includes all nucleic acid sequences associated with the sudden acute respiratory syndrome. In other words, it is impossible to have a SARS virus and not be subsumed within the CDC's patented definition of what the coronavirus that they patented really was. But that hasn't stopped anyone, because in 2005, it became very evident that this wonderful virus could actually be manipulated and amplified in ways that could harm humanity. And beginning in 2005, an allocation of approximately $1.7 billion per year was funneled through the hands of none other than Dr. Anthony Fauci for projects that actually were not competitive grants. They were not competitively bid. These were appropriations. These were market allocations, another criminal violation of the Sherman and the Clayton Act of the United States. Antitrust violations of interlocking directorates, antitrust violations of market allocations, antitrust violations of price fixing, antitrust allegations of the setting of non-competitive pricing, both for research and for the drugs that were developed and the research tools that were developed from this illegal activity, all of them managed by Dr. Anthony Fauci. Dr. Anthony Fauci is not America's doctor, any more than Al Capone was America's banker. He, in fact, was and remains an individual who has a list of crimes, and I mean that in the literal sense of the word, list of crimes that would actually make Al Capone blush. Would he have had 25% of the $748 billion that has been granted to the NIH during his tenure? Would he have had the nearly $200 billion of disclosed funding? Al Capone could have done some real damage, but he was no Anthony Fauci. And Anthony Fauci had the audacity, against the backdrop of everything we've lived through over the last 4 years of the craziness of allegations of people lying to Congress and lying to the public and doing all sorts of malfeasance, Anthony Fauci had the audacity in October of 2020 to lie to Congress again. How? Well, Congress was starting to ask questions. Where did all of that $748 billion of money go that went into the National Institutes of Health? To say nothing of the black projects and the special access programs that we've been able to uncover that have Dr. Fauci and Dr. Fauci's foreign parties also identified. That money, we have no idea what its scale is, but what we do know is that in October of 2020, when Congress asked the hard question, what's become of all this money? The answer was a lie. In the 21 patents listed by the Department of Health and Human Services GAO report to Congress, only 8 of the 21 legally comply with the Bayh-Dole Act of 1980, in which investigators who receive federal funds have to disclose the nature of those funds, and they have to disclose the U.S. government's interests in the resulting intellectual property and technology. 8 of the 21 disclosed actually have a compliant disclosure within the patent filing. 13 fail to disclose in violation of U.S. law, fail to disclose the U.S. government's interest. And that only leads to a few billion dollars a year of lost revenue for that little oversight. But let's take a look a little deeper, because it turns out that there are 40 patents associated with drugs that currently are actually grossing in the market, according to Medicare and Medicaid statistics, respectively $2.3 billion a year, $456 million a year, $500 million or more per year. These drugs that are actually in the market derived from 40, you heard me correctly, undisclosed patents that were never mentioned in the GAO report to Congress, never mentioned in any disclosure of any financial performance or any financial benefit flowing back to NIAID. 40 patents generating somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 to $5 billion per year, many of them for now over a decade, never once disclosed to Congress. Now, maybe that's an oversight. Maybe Dr. Anthony Fauci is, in addition to not being America's doctor and being a failed researcher in HIV vaccines and his failed aspirations to go after the infant imprint on a universal influenza vaccine, in addition to all of his other epic failures, maybe he's a bad manager. Maybe he doesn't know how to keep track of billions and billions of dollars of research. And I guess when you've been handed $191 billion and you've squandered all of it, maybe we shouldn't be surprised at a few billion missing here and a few billion missing there. Or should we be concerned? Well, the answer is that when the media of the United States, when public health authorities, when governors, when heads of state around the world are relying on an individual who has habitually lied since 1984, who has habitually hidden evidence, who has habitually made repeated statements that are false and misleading. When you have that individual sitting at the helm of an organization charged with protecting and safeguarding the health of humanity, it's helpful to realize that Dr. Anthony Fauci is not a crusader for humanity. He's a crusader for a very dark story, where he has appropriated the work of the National Science Foundation, not only not NIH, not only not Department of Health and Human Services, he's appropriated the work of the National Science Foundation to actually come up with a way to regenerate life on Earth. Now, last time I checked, we have life. We have it, and it's working. So one has to ask the question, why would Dr. Anthony Fauci lean on a company called Moderna, a company that was started in 2010 by an escapee from one of those National Science Foundation grants, a National Science Foundation grant that had the following title: Darwinian Chemical Systems. The National Science Foundation grant that was charged with figuring out how to start living systems from scratch. Don't take my word for it, take theirs. Their goal: to enable RNA to form in protocells without a primer template strand. Dr. Anthony Fauci is not just not Dr. Jekyll, not just not Mr. Hyde. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the front man for a view that says that we the people are expendable in the pursuit of the self-interest of the moneyed elite and the moneyed few. And we the people can see, in his own words, in his own hand, and in his own evidence, that Dr. Anthony Fauci is committed to the destruction, not the advancement of human life. Anyone who is willing to rob the dying of their privilege of dying with loved ones, anyone who is actually willing to say that holidays shouldn't be celebrated, anyone who believes that humanity should in fact rebreathe the air that they're rebreathing for the insidious objective of ultimately getting to pulmonary pathogens, which in 2020, at its annual meeting, the NIAID decided to fund a project on fungal infections caused by respiratory distress. Your mask is not protecting you. It's getting you ready for Dr. Fauci's next experiment.
Okay, that is a person's point of view, and he will not be seen anywhere. He will not be allowed a form anywhere. He is already being attacked. And so just be aware of this. But we believe that you should be able to hear these voices. Mind you, these are all mainstream, highly respected scientists. And now they're coming out to fight Anthony Fauci. And it's long overdue. I have been told about, I haven't seen it yet, that there is a documentary that involves Fauci that is almost complete. It'll supposed to be complete in a few weeks, and we will have the people on the program to talk about the mistakes that Fauci made that they believe caused upwards of 250,000 deaths in people with AIDS in the United States because of Anthony Fauci. And I've already been on the phone speaking with one of the people who was interviewed for the film, who I happen to have known 30 years ago. When she came into my office, her name's Lynn Gannett, and she set on my desk a stack of about 14 inches of paper. And I said, "What's this?" He said, "Well, take a look at it." So I started to go through it, and it became clear that these were letters from her to the FDA. She was one of the supervisors of the AZT trial. She said it was all fraud. The whole trial was a fraud from beginning to end. And then she has all these details of the doctors and nurses who were seeing people get sick and die, and yet they were not being recorded as AZT disqualification points. So Fauci was the one who promoted AZT and never allowed any natural non-toxic therapy to be funded or even discussed at all. So that's what's coming. And this is the man who heads the most powerful scientist in the world, and he is just worshipped like he's a living God. No. This is what happens when you don't have balance to give input. And by the way, I just got an email from Mitch Cohen. Thank you, Mitch, saying that the rally for this Wednesday has been postponed. So when there is going to be a rally, we'll certainly let you know so that you can attend these and voice your concerns against the manufacture of these vaccines. Let's go to one of the callers who's just called in, Monica from Long Island. Hi, Monica. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. I want to thank you so much, Gary, for all the work that you do. It's truly something beyond value. Thank you so much for all your reporting and keeping us informed. I do have a quick question for you. In terms of balance of power, I think that things are pretty bad when the media just plays one side of things. And that's in the way the balance of power is, I guess, kept, you know, in such a way that people really don't know the truth and don't have the tools to figure it out. I just had a quick question. I'll take my question off the air, but was wondering if there are any countries in the world that you might recommend for those of us who want to relocate. Thank you so much, Gary.
All right. I appreciate your response. I would like it fleshed out more by example. So if you would like to continue on that, I'll be happy to hear what you have to say. And for others, please give us a call at 888-874. Let's see, it's 888-874-4888. If you see, as I see, what we have never had before, where everyone in power is sharing the same ideology for different reasons, but there's no counterbalance. There's no voice in the mainstream or voice in the government or voice in corporate America who is saying, hold on a second, this is all wrong. So what do you think the outcome is going to be? So I'd like to hear from you. Places around the world to live. Well, first, I did a whole webinar on this, a six-hour webinar. It took a year's worth of research to collect all the information, and it's always shifting because what might have been a nice place a year ago prior to COVID may not be today. For example, Australia. Well, I wouldn't recommend anyone live in Australia if they had other choices. New Zealand, that's a different story. But Australia is just, it's fashion, it's gone rogue. It's right there. If you got Bolsonaro together with Trump or Biden in the prime minister of Australia, they would have a lot more in common than they have in differences. You're seeing the most draconian and ridiculous lockdown rules. In fact, I played you the actual video clip of a woman who did not do a demonstration, merely discussed it online, a peaceful demonstration with distancing and with face masks, and she was arrested by a SWAT team for that. And she was pregnant at the time. That didn't make a difference. These kind of bullies down there are just like our cops that are throwing her right on the floor. They don't give a about you. You got to understand that. When the police come, you think, well, they're going to be good cops. They're going to say, no, I can't do this. This is the wrong arrest. Yep. And let me show you countries that also had supposedly good cops. Let's start with the Stasi government in East Germany. Well, how about the West German government? And how about the Italian police? At least those are not controlled by organized crime. So you better look at everything into a country before you go there. You better look, is it sustainable? Does it have good water? Is it in a zone that is not going to be able to live because you're going to have drought? And drought killed billions of animals last year, and they're running out of water in Australia. I'm just giving that as an example, but they also have run out of freedom of choice. In fact, a person wanted to talk about vaccines. Who was pro-vaccine, who was a medical doctor, board certified in her field, spent 20,000 hours studying vaccines. She was not even allowed in the country, let alone to talk. So we are at that place where governments no longer have to adhere to a balance of power. It's all power. That's pure authoritarianism. Want to see how that comes out? Why don't you go back to 1922 and look at the black shirts and Mussolini? Or how about 1932 in Nazi Germany and every year thereafter, including 1936, the Night of the Long Knives? It gets really bad. While good citizens do nothing, those who have absolute power, and right now in the United States, there are journalists who have absolute power. For example, did you see any of the journalists at the New York Times even mention that there are 10,000 plus studies against the 5G, and that there are thousands of scientists who signed a petition, sent it to every government, saying, please don't support 5G? Not a word, as if none of it existed. And talking about, do the numbers here. using the government's own figures, you have over 2.2 million adverse reactions, including thousands of deaths of people taking vaccine. They were all pro-vaccine, parents pro-vaccine. In fact, everybody was pro-vaccine. Now, then I had on the program, and I interviewed him years ago, the MD, PhD, who was the head of the FDA. I asked him, and I asked all the others that I had interviewed on this, what is the percentage of people that actually report an adverse reaction? Because for decades, it was voluntary, not mandatory. And they said at its best, around 10%. At its worst, around 1% to 2%. That means that of every 100 children or adults who have an adverse reaction, only 1 to 2 in the worst case, or 10 in the best case, report it. So an actual number of adverse reactions is what? Well, you're dealing with percentages of difference, which would mean you have tens of millions of adverse reactions. But then add in the parents of those people, and now you're up to almost 40 million people. That's a sizable amount of people. If you actually had to be honest and give the actual statistics of how many people have been adversely affected, you're dealing with numbers that are unheard of in the United States. But they control the numbers, just like they control the number of officially unemployed, excluding anyone who can't find a job or stop looking, or who has run out of their unemployment benefits. And suddenly, or you're working 1 hour a week, you're still, you know, employed. You're working 1 hour a week. So they played the game of numbers. So understand that you cannot accept what is someone telling you, and you better look carefully at any country you're going to see, is there a balance of power? Are you allowed to speak out? Are you allowed to demonstrate? Are you allowed to peacefully demonstrate, which most people do peacefully demonstrate? The answer is no. Spain, forget about it. And the countries that are still sustainable, that do offer some freedoms, Ireland is one, though even that is being a challenge, but they have a very strong pro-free speech, pro-independent thought movement there, and I have confidence that the Irish people will fight back. Scotland, also. Great Britain, forget about it. You might as well be in a hellhole. They've got the dumbest members, the most corrupt members of their government and the media. The BBC is completely complicit and in the pocket, and that's been going on for a long time. So, Canada, that person running Canada, my God, you could have Lassie from the movies and do a better job as prime minister. This guy's just a fool. So I do not see any of the major countries. Now, you do have good quality of life. You do have longevity. You do have high happiness index. And you do have more freedoms in places like Norway, Sweden, Denmark, the Netherlands, Switzerland. Yes. That would be probably the first area that I would look for if I was looking outside of the United States, because I'm looking at levels of crime, levels of freedom, quality of life, happiness, and sustainability. Okay? But download the video or download the webinar and you'll get the details. Let's say hello to Joe. Joe, you're from Charlottesville. Nice to have you on. Please share your points of view.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Long-time listener and actualizer. Regarding the lack of truthful information, I have failed to convince any of my friends or family that the mass media is really propaganda. And I don't browbeat them. I try to just do it by example. But nothing seems to work. Ask them if they really care for themselves and their families. They might try to get some more truthful information and places like PRN, yourself, Chris Hedges, Professor Wolf, Michael Hudson, etc. Voting for the Green Party. I voted for Ralph Nader and the Green Party for the past 28 years. I can convince no one to even look at the Green Party. The censorship and propaganda of the mass media has just caught the great majority of people, and they're not even looking for any alternative viewpoints. And I think that's really sad, and, you know, it's going to be to the detriment of all of us. It is now, and will be getting worse, I believe. And as far as COVID, I'd like to say something about that, too, that there was a person with an Indian accent, a woman who responded with a diatribe regarding her contention that China should pay for the pandemic, the cost of the economic devastation that occurred in the world. Several things I'd like to correct from her erroneous allegations. I believe she's obviously seems to be biased against China, and, you know, biases are signs of ignorance and lead to denial of truth. There are thousands of physicians and scientists who do not regard COVID-19 as a pandemic, and it did not cause the economic recession or possible depression to come. Those difficulties were well underway before the virus occurred, as they occur every 7 to 10 years in capitalism. And the world, the 2007-08 recession, was really largely overcome because of the Chinese economic strategies as well.
Okay, let's go through with a few of your comments here. First, I believe that she was accurate in this respect. If you support China, and most people do, then do you support their conquest of Tibet, the destruction of 50,000 monasteries, the killing of people who were high up in the regime who did not flee with the Dalai Lama into India? And now it has been completely transformed. They've brought in one of the largest sects of the Chinese culture to repopulate the area based upon the Chinese notion of its rewriting its history. And the people who have been doing the hard work have been the Uyghurs. And do you support the detainment and putting into these cattle cars, for want of a better word, and transporting them to detention camps where if they do work, it must be for free, and they're not allowed to leave, and it's only if the Chinese determine that they are re-educated enough that they're allowed to reincorporate into society, but they're tracked and everything about them is monitored. By any notion of humanity, that would be considered an atrocious human rights violation, and we're talking about millions. Do you also think that it was wrong of China to engage in profiteering by attacking over 100 million of the meditative group, and whether you believe in their view of a messiah in their midst or not, the Wuhan center, the peaceful demonstrators were taken into military hospitals and kept there, and their organs were taken out and sold. And that's why it might take you a year to get onto a list to get a heart or kidney or liver in the United States for transplant. There you might have to wait one day, because they had an unlimited supply in the people they were holding. And then when the person finally had their heart taken out and died, then they would be incinerated and nothing would be told to the family. And we're talking about millions of people who were victimized. And also the ways they're dealing with people with their trans efforts by the new Silk Road, both on sea. Look at the countries that they're giving lots of money to, but look at the terms under which those countries can have their natural resources confiscated or taken over by the Chinese. And also with all these deals, the Chinese are moving population groups into Africa to work and maintain and oversee all the projects. It may certainly benefit to some degree the independent countries, but the Chinese are not without enormous amount of an incapacity for appreciating human life, as they haven't appreciated any freedoms of their own citizens. And there are no freedoms. You don't have the freedom of speech. You don't have freedom of assembly. You don't have freedom of worship in China. You do exactly what the government wants. Or look at Hong Kong and look at the young idealists who wanted to challenge. They were brutalized, arrested, and now you can go to jail and spend decades there. So in that context, yes. And also, this virus was the fault of Anthony Fauci and the group at the University of North Carolina, the center that was being funded, and the illegal activity of taking a virus which was banned in this enhancement effort in the United States, and then shipping that off to the Wuhan, giving him $3.6 million to cover the research, including one of the top researchers from the University of North Carolina going into the Wuhan lab, and all for gain of purpose, meaning they were enhancing the viral activity of the virus. Now, what they were doing it for, we don't know. And how it got out of the lab, we don't know. But that's where it happened, and we also know that they knew long before they officially announced it. And they control the World Health Organization, completely control it. So anytime someone is making a legitimate challenge against who should be responsible, I believe that China should be responsible, and Anthony Fauci should also be responsible, and therefore the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease should be responsible, the people at the university, anybody at all in the chain of command at three different research institutions, one in Canada, one in Chicago, one in North Carolina. Those institutions should also be held accountable as well. And to do this, you would have to have an independent, non-media, non-corporate group of scientists who would look for the truth, forensically put it together, and then say, here is the best evidence we have of who is responsible for this. That will never happen because there is no balance of power. I appreciate you giving us your thoughts, though. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. We're out of time, everyone. I want to thank you for listening in. And tomorrow, I'll give my own insights on what happens when we lose our balance of power. Have a nice day, everyone.